Recently, I've bought a shed. So we bought it ages ago, and it turned up, thankfully I was in, and it's these three great big boxes. It's a flat pack shed. And I don't know how big the boxes are, but they're about this wide, and probably from about here to Viv Long. And the guy got them off, big chap got them out of the van, and he put them on the driveway there, and I had to move them down. I thought, okay, we'll move those. I went out, I said, Roo, you're going to have to come and help me. We're like, we tried to lift one box, and it's like, it's not moved. We managed just about to drag them into the garden. We kind of did it in stages. And then I dragged it to where I wanted to make it. And each was massive effort to get it there. And then, so I had these big boxes, and I didn't open them. I just kind of left them. I put them there, and I thought, man, I'm not going to touch that yet. You're supposed to open it and look for all the parts. There were so many parts. I couldn't really look through and see if all the parts were there because it was just so many parts in it. So I just thought, well, I'm going to wait for the right moment to start this building project, the right moment. So I don't know what the right moment. It must have been when I left it there for a little while, kind of looking at these big boxes. And I thought, when I've got a bit of time. So I eventually opened the boxes and I found the manual. And the manual was like this great big book. And I looked at it and I thought, oh my word. It's like quite a daunting task. And it makes sense to start at the beginning and go through it all. But you kind of look through it all. And I did have a glance, sort of bit of a read through it first. You know, it was like reading a book. The instruction manual. Anyway, I decided to start on it. And start on the first bit, get the first little bits out, and just start. And you're thinking, and luckily, I'd read on the internet that it takes quite a while to make. Because originally I would have thought, oh, I'm going to get this shed and I'll knock it up in an afternoon. But it took days to just put parts together. And all I was assembling is bits and pieces all dotted around of flat. I was getting absolute bits into bigger bits, lying all over the place. So I've got bits everywhere, and that was taking me ages. And then the dreaded thought of actually building it, because you've got bits of shed all over the place. So I went down one day and set up where I wanted to make it. And, of course, I couldn't do it on my own because there's too many pieces. So I got Sandra to come and help me. So Sandra was my buddy, my helper. And between us, we got started on this shed. Now, the funny thing is, it was making all the bits took me ages. But actually, to start putting it up didn't take so long because you're just putting the pieces up now. And now you've got to try and join those together. You've got to hope that you've got it right. And I'd been very diligent when I was making the bits. I'd gone through the manual, reading a bit. Oh, yeah, made that. And then one point I got to and I thought, I can't find those bits. Oh, they're probably not in the pack. But I'll leave that bit and move on. And then I'll come back later. And lo and behold, the bits were in there, but I just labelled up some wrong myself. The numbers were on them. But in my sort of just going through them, I put the wrong number on them. A little mistake. So when I double check, going back through them, I found all the bits. So I made it all. So did I make any mistakes in my meticulous building of it? Well, actually, I did. I made quite a few mistakes. The shed isn't upside down or anything, but I did make mistakes, and usually, as I built this shed, the mistakes were either from I seem to notice, actually, on a couple of days, I'd sort of work on into the evening. So say I've got a couple of hours at the end of the day. I'll go down there. I might be down there at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, fiddling around, I've just put that last sheet on there. Then the next morning or the next day when I had a chance, I'd go to it and I'd look at the manual and I'd check it. Okay, I've just used all the wrong washers on that. I've got to take all those screws out. And it's like, you go. The first hour you'd spend fixing what you just got wrong late the night, evening before. And I thought I was running out of washers, and there you go. I was running out of washers because I was using the wrong washers. So I needed to put the right washers in. So I did it. And then another time, I'd done all this fixing this bit, and Viv came down, and we just got to the last bits, and she looked at it, and I said, oh, have we got one more of these? And I put it, I said, oh, I don't think that's the right bit. And then she said, let me have a look in the manual. Oh, yeah, this bit was supposed to go on at the beginning. I'm like, okay. It's not going on the beginning now. I'm just going to stick it on at the end. And so I did. It worked. And then I said to Viv, I said, that kind of explains something. Because I've done the whole thing, because I put the thing in the wrong order, I put this sort of capping of the roof on, and it kind of didn't work because it was too long. So it's hard to explain, but basically it was making the job really hard because I was doing it in the wrong order. And I thought, wow, I don't know why they designed it like that. Why did they design it like that? And in the end, I'm going to miss a screw out all the way along because I can't. It's just too. I don't know what they've done there. Well, of course, it's my fault. I put them in the wrong order, so now I've made it hard for myself all the way along. Did it matter that the screw's missing? Not really, because there's four screws holding it down, and I've missed one. So there's three screws holding it. It'll be all right. So I've missed it. I'm not going to take the top off all the way back and redo it. Luckily, I'm not too fussy like that. So the shed looks all right. Yeah, it looks all right. I have redone some of it, some bits that I got wrong, and some bits I've just think, I'm not changing that. That's fine. That's the integrity of the shed is good. See, I can see that it's good, but it's just could be better. Yeah? So it's almost finished. The only thing I haven't done, I've still got more to do, I've got to secure the shed to the ground. Yeah? It's standing there, this great big shed, and I just don't want a storm or a gust, big massive wind now. It'd be like putting your tent up at camp and you haven't pegged it down. So it's all made, it's all up, it's not pegged down. No pegs whatsoever. Well, it has got a few little bits and pieces holding it. But that's the place I've got to. So it's all constructed. Some bits wrong. I could show you where I've missed bits out. And I could show you the bits that I had to go back and refix. Yeah, so. And as I thought about all this, I followed the instructions quite diligently, actually. And I still got it wrong. And it's not the instructions' fault, I don't think. I'd like to blame the instructions. But I think it's my fault that I got it wrong. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. And it is my fault because probably when I did things wrong, I was probably in a bit of a rush. I was probably a bit tired. And I probably at that point didn't look at the instructions. So I have to say, yeah, it's probably my fault. If I did it all again, I could do it even better second time round, couldn't I? I don't know if I'd be a little bit quicker, but not much quicker. It's because I've just grabbed an hour here and a couple of hours there, and I've had to do it all. So, but some things you know, you learn from practice. And as I thought about it, you know, sometimes we rush things, sometimes we're tired, sometimes we think we know it. So I thought I knew it, and I did it. And then I look back and I think, it was all right, but it wasn't right. I did it wrong, because I knew it. So something's got wrong. And sometimes I was concentrating on one bit of the manual and missed another bit. Like, for example, I was busy trying to work out what screws and attachments to use, and I was trying to read the instructions, and I missed the order on which the sheets needed to go on, if that makes sense. So sometimes I was busy concentrating on a little detail and missed the bigger detail. Does that make sense? All the reasons why I got some of the things wrong. And so I followed the instructions but still made mistakes. And I can show you some of the stuff. But the shed is actually okay. And one day when you're there, I'll have to show you the shed. You'll see the shed. Yeah, hopefully it's still standing. There's the shed. No, that's where the shed was. And you can see it. So you'll be able to see it. And you'll probably go, oh, that looks all right. And I could say, well, there's a screw missing there, and there's something missing there, and I could point the faults out if I wanted to. Or I could just let you admire the work. It's not as it was completely designed, but it's there. I'm reasonably happy with it, with my work. And it's going to do the job, hopefully, that I want it to do. I want to keep stuff in it for the garden. Yeah? Ladders, etc., etc. And when I thought about this, it's like us building our lives. And God has invested an awful lot in all of us here. All of you, God's invested massively in. More than I've invested in that shed. And I've got a couple of screws wrong in that shed, and I'm not going to go, chuck that shed because I didn't get it quite right. God has invested in you big time. And he wants you to be functioning for him. Yeah? That's what he wants. And you may have the odd flaw in you. Yeah? You may have the odd flaw. You might not, but you may have the odd flaw. But God doesn't want to chuck you away because you've got a screw missing. You've got a screw loose. No, the general you, God has invested in you. And when he's invested in you, he wants you to function for him. I want that shed to function for me. I've got it to a place where it's actually okay. Whether I actually ever finish it off, I don't know, because I don't need to now. There's trimmings and bits, and I don't know if some things will be helpful or not. So and Jesus taught those who came to hear him. People came to listen to Jesus. And he said to them, and he got all sorts of people that came and listened to him. And he'd say to some were looking out how they could find fault in him. Some were skeptical. Others were keen. And he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So, if I can just find that. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words, so they've heard the words of mine, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished his sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught with great authority. And, you know, he says these words at the end of his great teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. And it all ties in with that message. It's not just a little random message on its own that Jesus said. It's because he taught them how to live. And, you know, when I think about it, you know, Ian spoke last week, didn't he, about true fasting. And true fasting, it wasn't about getting what you wanted. And so you fast because I want that nice car. I'm going to fast so that I can get that nice house. I'm going to fast so that I can do that. The fasting that God wanted was to be concerned for other people, to look after the needy and the lost. And, you know, Jesus' teachings are teaching us how to live. And if, you know, I always think, at least, and I, you know, at some point possibly do it, you know, might just read through the Sermon on the Mount, because the storm that he talks about, it says that the storm came, the rain came. I mean, that's what I don't want to happen with my garage at the moment. It's not secure, is it? And if I got a big gust of wind, it'd be like you putting your tent up a camp, and then suddenly, oh, wait a minute, here comes the storm, and it all blows over. And, you know, you kind of think, how can I hold it down? And our lives need to be built on the words of Jesus. They need to be built on him. We need to put those things into practice. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. It doesn't say whoever hears these words, full stop, and puts them into practice. And when I read that, I was looking through that manual, I read it and I had to put it into practice. So I'd read a little section and get out the number one screws and the number 10 washers, and off I went. And I had to do what it said. Then I got number 20345 out and got 20346 and bolted those together. And then I got 21476 and bolted that to that. And that's how it worked. And I just followed the plans. And Jesus is saying, if you hear these words of mine, you do them. And when the storm comes, or if the storm comes, your life will be. Now, as I thought about this, whatever that storm is, because if we ignore the words of Jesus, it doesn't mean necessarily that they get a storm and we don't, because we're Christians. Because it says, if you build your house on the rock, you get a storm and they can get a storm. So both can have storms, can't they? But I also think, when we ignore the words of Christ, we can create problems that give us a storm that we don't need. Does that make sense? So it would be like me missing out very crucial screws in my shed, and as I went to put it up, the thing fell. Part of it fell down. Now I've created that because I've not done it as the plan says, and I've actually created a problem that person who's followed the plans hasn't got that bit falling down. So sometimes when we ignore the words of Christ, we actually create a problem that we don't need, we don't have to have. And it might be that, oh yeah, I forgot to screw the roof down. And here comes a gust of wind. It's not that strong, and it's blown the roof off. Whoops. Oh yeah, that was dumb, wasn't it? And that's what it could be like. You know, just a simple thing like that. But we've created the problem. It's not like, oh, that's just wrong, that is. The roof's blown off. How bad is that? We've created that problem ourselves because we've ignored the words of Christ. But it doesn't say in the Bible, all who build their house on the rock don't get a storm, and all those that build on the sand do get a storm. It's both. When the day comes, you both get a storm. Whatever that storm might be. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I thought, it could affect us. You know, things can affect us all. But when I look at it all, the words of Jesus, as we take them on board, as we follow them, I think our values and our understanding start to differ. Because one of the things he says, don't build up treasures on earth, build them up in heaven. So I'm just going to pick on that one because that's kind of an easy one to sort of think about. And in a sense, if all our focus is building up treasures on earth, and somehow that we lose that, we could crash. Does that make sense? In our faith, we go, oh God, why do you allow that to happen? I spent my life doing that. And you see, I'm not saying it's wrong to have savings and things like that. I'm not going there. What I'm saying is, if that's our focus of life, if that's the most important thing in our life, it could be other things. You know, for myself, it could be I spend an inordinate amount of time keeping fit and active. You see? That could be my God, couldn't it? That could be the most important thing to me, that I'm fit and active. And what if somehow something happens to me that I can't walk or run or swim anymore? Do I crash? See, that's me. And I have to be careful that that isn't my God. And we have to be careful what is the most important thing to us that we are chasing. Are we chasing God or are we chasing stuff? And in a sense, that young man down at Calais was talking to this guy from London, was saying, you people in the West, it's what you do. You chase stuff. Chase stuff. It's your God becomes stuff. He wasn't saying to him particularly, but he was just saying that's how it is. And if we have lived only, and that's what part of what Ian was saying last week, that the true fasting and gratifying the human nature and the aim, why they were fasting religiously, because they wanted God to give them what they wanted. I'm fasting, God, I'm a good Christian, and I want this, I want this. You see, I want this, I want this. It's not what do you want, God? It's I want, I want, I want. Now, if we're in line with God, we can say I want. Yeah, I want to see so-and-so saved. I'm fasting because I want to see that person saved. I'm fasting because I want to see that person healed. I'm fasting because I want to see that person come out of poverty. You see? That's different too. I'm fasting because I want a better car. Or I'm fasting because, you know, I want to be this. But if our thoughts are for the benefit of others, it's a better place. That's what James says when they pray. You pray so that you can have things for yourself. It was like you pray that you can be better off, that you can have parties, whatever. But it's not for the benefit of others. And if we're following the words of Jesus, the storm may come. But I sometimes think our values are realigned and our priorities change. So when that storm comes, it doesn't mean we don't have a hard time. You get a storm is a storm. You know, if it starts thunder and lightning out there, and we have to go out in it, you'll get wet, I'll get wet, and that person who is an unbeliever gets wet. And when the storm comes, it says, the house that's built on the rock stood firm. It didn't say that house that's built on the rock doesn't get a storm. It avoids it. See, sometimes we as Christians think, yes, if we're Christians, we'll avoid, nothing bad will happen to us. That's just not right thinking. Bad stuff can happen, but it's, can you come through it and stand firm? Standing firm, what does that mean? You know, your faith is intact. Because you could have a storm, and you go, I don't know if I want this anymore. It's too much. If there's a God, why has he allowed this to happen to me? See, that would be, you know, I'm not having any more of this. I think I might as well just do my own thing. See, that could be an outcome of it. Another outcome could be, life is too hard, I'm going to take my own life. I don't think that's what God wants. God doesn't want you to say, I give up on living, I'm going to just take my own life. It's what people do now, you know, you see it. But it's, to stand firm is to keep going. To stand firm is to keep our vision of the promised land, or to keep ourselves focused. Our priorities have changed. And what I think we should be looking for is good character. It'll bring character. Yeah? We're looking for... I was talking to a minister this week, and he said what he looks for is character. It was really nice to hear, actually. You know, he's working in a church in the town, and he says what he wants to see in people, what's most important he sees, is character. You know, it's nice for other things, but he wants to see someone who is trustworthy, honest, reliable. Interestingly, if you were an employer, what would you want? If you're an employer, you employ people. What is it you're looking for? You're looking for someone who's trustworthy, you're honest, reliable, diligent. Those are the kind of things. That's what God's looking for. He wants us to be like that. He's not looking for like, hey, I'm up here today, down there tomorrow. I'm all full on today and I'm not tomorrow. He's building character in us. He's building reliability, trustworthiness in us. That's what he wants. It's not about a show of religion. If you're all show and unreliable, it's not what he's after. That's the crash. He doesn't want Sunday morning Christians. He wants people of character, people of reliability, people of trustworthiness. That's what he's looking for. So, you know, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's about being concerned for others. It's about being trustworthy, about being reliable in God's eyes. We shall have a look at that at some point, but I think I'm going to be finishing on this. But build your house on the words of Christ. Build your life. Follow what he's got to say. Do you know, when you make mistakes, some of the mistakes we can go back and fix, can't we? Some of the mistakes, we can take them to God and he'll say, don't worry about that. Keep going. You see that? You know, when I've made mistakes, some of them I've fixed and some of them I just think, that's all right. And the same with you. When you when you live in your life and you think, oh, I made a mistake there, don't write yourself off. Don't write yourself off. Because actually, God is invested in you and he wants you. And he says, no, I can, you're all right, actually. I can keep working with that. But let's not go there again. Let's just keep moving on. And we'll learn, as long as we learn from these things, God's invested in you. And I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you don't give up on us. It's us who give up on you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to acknowledge when we make mistakes. You would help us to see those things that we can put right and those things that we can just give to you and that you just wipe them clean, Lord. And we just pray that you would help us see that we are of worth and value to you, that you desire us, and that you want to work with us, and that you have a plan and a purpose for us, and that, yes, you want to use us, Lord. Mistakes and all, Lord. We just thank you for your great love, your mercy, your generosity. We just thank you. Amen.